Welcome to another Encompass Church podcast. We hope that you are inspired and challenged by God's word. For more information about our church, please check out www.encompass.org.au.
We've been doing a series on what? Called The God Encounters. Guys, for some reason, can I just say something before I get moving? This thing here is going up and up my face, and soon it's going to be in my eye, so I need to get it down to my mouth. So maybe somebody with who... Oh, why don't we give a big welcome to... Come on. I can try. That's good. That's good. That's great. So I don't get distracted. Good. Excellent. So just remind all the guys, next week, I'm really looking forward to Father's Day. I've got somebody else coming. Goodness me. All right. Okay. I'll just stand here. No, this is very confusing here. Next week is Father's Day. Really looking forward to, guys, we'll just have a message, not just for you, but for the whole congregation. But it's a time we celebrate manhood. It's a time the guys get together a little bit and we eat something. You've got to have food when it comes to guys, don't we? Yeah, is that right? Food's very, very important. But also I like to speak into the life of guys and the whole congregation. So come along, and I believe God's got something to say to you. So we have been doing a series. In fact, this is the last message in a series of messages we've been doing on close encounters. And right around the world, actually, where you see a church that's thriving and it's growing, it always has an emphasis upon the fact that God still does miracles today. And am I in the right house here? God still does miracles today. It's not as if they've finished with the apostolic age, the end of apostolic age. God does. And just some recent news that I was reading about last night, and I don't want you to look it up now, but if I tell you not to look it up, you will anyway, but it doesn't matter. On the ABC news, it was talking about how now Pentecostals are the second largest movement in Australia. We were nothing years ago, and now it's growing beyond all the denominations. Even the Anglicans are really sort of thinking, wow, we've outgrown them. And here's another statistic you may not know, and that there are more people with degrees and education in Pentecostal church than there are in the Anglican church. How's that? Isn't that interesting? You know, I find that astonishing, because it used to be, oh, you know, the Pentecostals, they're all emotional and all that kind of thing. Oh, no, we are emotional, but we are soundly, solidly founded on truth. And so that's what's happening. But if you look in Africa, and if you look in China, you look in Argentina, wherever you see the church thriving, there's a church that believes that God still does miracles today. He's a God who delivers. He's a God who heals. He's a God that shows up. And so I want to speak a little bit more about this. We are committed as a church to leaving room, to welcoming God, to opening the door to God so that He can do whatever He wants in our midst. And there's an interesting scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and it says this. It says, I stand, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody opens the door, I will come in with him, come in and sup with him, and he with me. Now, many times we use that scripture for those who are giving their life to Christ. You know, he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and open your door and he'll come in. And that's true too. But the actual context is here in the church, and it says Jesus is standing at the door of the church. Hello? Anybody there? Can you let me in? And I tell you, there are some churches that have all but blocked God out. They've just now become social clubs. But we want to give an open door to God. Am I in the right place? We want to say, God, you come in and you do what you need to do. And we are committed to people releasing their faith in God. How do we do that? Let me share with you today how, as a church, when you see certain things, you'll understand why we're doing it. Because we want to provide a platform for God to move. Number one, we build an expectation for God to move amongst us. So we want to build that. We want to speak into that. There's a scripture found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 23. It says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So when you have an expectation for God to do something, God is able to move. If you don't have that expectation, even though God shows up, it says because of their unbelief, he was not able to do anything. You've got to have a heart toward God, an openness toward God, and then God says, okay, then I will come. How many believe that God is in the house today? God is in the house today. How many believe that God is good? He is good all the time. We believe that, and so we build expectation and we build faith for God to move. The second thing that we do is we create times for prayer and encounter with God. Most of the time I'm having a chat on the front row. By the way, everybody, my wife is not here. She's out somewhere helping somebody at the moment. But oftentimes you'll see us talking and the conversation goes, okay, what are you going to do? How? And make sure, John, she'll say, that you provide time for people to respond. In other words, cut down your message. Don't blabber on. You know, that's generally what she's saying. And we are committed. We are committed to people hearing the word of God, but we also need to respond to the word of God. We need to receive prayer. We need to receive words that God wants to give to us. And so we are committed as a church, not just to teach, but also to have a time of response. Everybody say response to the things of God. That's what we are committed to. And then the other thing is that we are committed to providing a platform of worship as we gather together as God's people. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Now listen to me here. Listen, you can listen to podcasts, and that's good. I encourage you to do that. You can listen to DVDs, but there's something about God's people coming together. There's a corporate anointing that happens when we worship God together that you can't replace. You can't say, I think I'll just stay at home, you know, and enjoy it. No, something happens when you bring your faith and you bring your faith and you bring your faith and we worship God together. There's something dynamic that takes place in that worship experience. Worship opens you up to the things of God. It takes your mind off the problems so that you don't focus on the problems and you start to focus on the greatness of God. Worship is not bringing God all on my list of things. It's simply adoring Him. I think I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. It's the wow. You know, you have that wow, God, moment. You think, you are magnificent. God, your creation speaks of your grandeur. That's why we keep on singing that hymn, How Great Thou Art. Now, some of you don't know many hymns, but you know Amazing Grace. You'll know that one. And How Great Thou Art was actually penned in 1885, and we still sing it today because it's a worship song that takes eyes off us, and we say, God, how great you are. I remember hearing a story just this week of a little old lady who went to see Abraham Lincoln, the president. And he's one of the most famous presidents, if not the most famous president in the United States. And she came in, and as she walked in, the usual thing that the president would say is, how can I be of service to you? That's the normal way of greeting. The woman said, well, actually, I haven't come here to ask for anything. I've come to bring you something. And says, I have some cookies here. I understand you like a particular type of cookie, and I baked them last night. The president was taken back. In fact, he was silent. And it's recorded, the tears filled his eyes. And he said to the little old lady, maybe reminder of his mother, I'm not too sure, but said, thank you for your kind gift. And then he said, I've been president for a number of years, and I have thousands of people come to me, and they're always wanting something. They're asking me for a favor. They're demanding that I do certain things. You are the first person ever to come into my presence and bring me a gift. You see, then he said this, what can I do for you? How can I help you? When you come into God's presence, and you don't come with all of your lists. And look, we do need to have our prayer list, please. I've got some myself. But you spend that time and you just adore Him. And you just love Him. And say, I've got a gift for you. It's a gift of worship. You know what that does? It touches the heart of God. And then He turns around and He says, what can I do for you? And out of that comes compassion, comes kindness, comes grace. That's why we worship God. Worship is not about you. It's not about what you need. It's about adoring Him. It's about giving Him praise. And when you do that, it will come back to you. That's why we do it. And we release faith in the house. Say amen. Amen. We also are committed to give opportunity for people to release their faith as a divine point of contact, like plugging in an extension cord into a power socket. We provide ways in which you can do that. And I want to share with you some ways. Are you happy? Okay, let's go through it. Number one, laying on of hands. We practice in this church laying on of hands. Why? Because Jesus did it. We find in Luke chapter 4, verse 40, this, read it with me. And at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses and... All right, and laying on his hands on each one of them, he healed them. What's with the laying on of hands? The laying on of hands is the transference of power from God through the vehicle and touches the other person. That's what we're taught in Scripture. There's a remarkable woman in Mozambique, her name is Heidi Baker, that God has used to see people healed of blindness, many of them. She says when she started, not many people got healed at all. But she just kept on praying, following what it says in Scripture, laying on her hands, just kept on praying. Anybody who's got eye sickness, let me pray for you. Do all of them get healed? No, not at all. But on a regular basis, she sees miracle, creative miracles taking place. Even those who don't get healed always walk away, knowing that God loves them. She speaks into their life. God loves you. Just keep trusting and believing God. She cares for them. She shows the love and the compassion of God. Let me say this. When we lay hands on people, we're not God. He's the healer. But we just do what he tells us to do. And the more we pray, the more we see God break out. Have a look at the stories. They're all scattered around here. People being touched by the power of God. God is alive. And he wants us simply to obey what he tells us to do. Another way in which we help people to release their faith is through the anointing of oil. Everybody say anointing with oil. The reason I get you to repeat is so that you're with me. You don't go drifting off somewhere and start thinking of your lunch, right? I want you here. You can be here and not here. Okay, anointing with oil. I'm not going to speak much about this, but I'm going to give you the scripture because later on we're going to pray for people. In fact, prepare yourself. We're going to have a time of prayer at the end. You start to say already in your spirit, Lord, I prepare my heart. I want to receive from you. Okay, right through this message, just have faith. Let faith start to rise in your heart. It says here, if anyone is sick, right? And I believe it's more than just sick. Anybody's got a need in their life among you, let him call for the elders, people who are recognized in the church. Not anybody, people who are recognized. And let them pray over him, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're going to do that in a few moments. Another way in which we help people to release their faith is through prayer and fasting. Now, you know that at the beginning of every year, we have this period of time where we pray and fast. And if you were to read a lot of the stories, and I hope you do. I just saw one person, by the way, just reading at the, there's in the foyer, there's lots of stories. Read them. You'll find that often that the time of great breakthrough took place after a prayer of prayer and fasting. And God broke through in their life. The Bible tells us that at one time there was a young man. He was demon-possessed. The signs was he was destroying himself. You want to know what demon possession is? A person destroys themselves. And he comes to the disciples, and the father says, pray for my son. The disciples pray, they go through their ritual, nothing. Jesus comes in, and the father says, can you pray for my son? Lays hands on him immediately. The power of God hits that young man. Set free. And the disciples are astonished. So how come we pray? We're good people. And Jesus said this, I'm going to read this, read it with me. This kind. There are situations, there are kind of situations that you need to have an intensity of prayer that you will not have a breakthrough. It says this kind comes only out by and fasting. That's why at the end of the period, we have a prayer and fasting. We have a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, as we have now presented ourselves, it positions us before God. We believe God for breakthrough in people's lives. And it's quite astonishing what God does. Another way we help people to release their faith is by testimonies. Listen to the scripture here. It's found in Psalm 66, verse 16. It says, come, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you. When you tell your story, it's not you boasting. You want other people to know. You see, when you tell your story about what God has done, it builds faith in other people. That's what it does. That's why we're doing all of this. Some people say, but no, no. It's so that you can, your story can help somebody else, because people go, if God did it for them, then maybe he can do it for me. There's a story in John chapter 4 where there's a woman at the well and she is pulling out water, and Jesus comes and sits in the vicinity, and he starts to tell her about living water. She is overtaken by this conversation. She rushes off into the village, and she says, come and see this man. Unbelievable. He's told me everything about my life. And because of her testimony, the whole village comes out and it sits at the feet of Jesus, and they receive him. You see, the power of a testimony. I just want to encourage you. Sometimes you don't know what to say to people who are non-believers, or, you know, kind of go, I can't. Just tell them your story. Tell them that the fact is God is good. That's all they need to hear. And you'll find that a story is far more powerful than all the persuasive arguments that you could possibly bring your way. Another way in which we help people to release their faith is through words of knowledge. Everyone say words of knowledge. In John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, and Jesus said to the woman, this is the same woman. Remember, we were talking about this woman at the well. He says to the woman, never met her before. He says, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right. You have had 5 husbands, and the man you are living with now is not your husband. What is that? How could you possibly know that? A word of knowledge is something that you could possibly not know unless the Spirit of God tells you. That's what a word of knowledge. And because of that, she goes, whoa! She opens up her heart to God, because God is now reading her mail. And this is what a powerful word of knowledge does. Now, of course, you need to have a lot of wisdom in sharing words of knowledge. And I've heard some people say some strange things, but, you know, we're mature. We grow in these areas. Like, for example, not too long ago, I was in a meeting like this, and I'm just preaching away, and I felt God, just anointing came on me, and I said, this week, and some of you may recall it, and this is interesting, I recall word for word what I said. I think it was about 2 years ago. I said, this week, somebody here has said, I will never get over this. What people have done to me, I will never overcome. You've got no hope, but God would say to you, not only will you overcome, but you will be an agent of healing in the very area that you've struggled. God is speaking to you right now. As soon as I said that, I felt faith released from me into the congregation and exposed the lies of the devil. You see, there was a lie going on there. There was a fight in this person's mind. And a person was released in Jesus' name. That's a word of knowledge. Now, it would be great if I could control it. Some people think I can read their mail. I wish I could. I used to have a pastor, I used to run away from him because I thought he could read my thoughts. Sometimes I can, and they're scary thoughts. No, no. But that's, we don't control that. It only comes from God as we look to him. You know, last weekend I was in Port Lincoln, and it's not a place that you go to just because it's way out of, and the pastor said to me, he said, can you come? He kept on saying, can you come, can you come? Finally, I went. And at the end of a meeting on the Sunday morning, I prayed for this girl. And this girl was going overseas. And she was really, really worried about, she was studying. She was worried about her accommodation. She was worried about her job. And, you know, you could tell. And so I went to pray for her. So I'm praying for her, you know, the normal way, Lord, I pray that you provide. And, you know, it just started off like that. And as I was praying, I began to see a picture. And it was not premeditated. I just saw this table laid out with all this food, abundant. You know, like the Italians do, you know, when you go to their place. There's just food everywhere, everywhere. Many of you other nationalities as well, you know. And I said to her, as I'm praying, I'm seeing a table. And God's saying to you that he's going to prepare the way. That there's going to be more than enough provision for you. You don't have to worry. I said, does that mean anything to you, what I've just said? And then I gave her the scripture, because immediately the scripture came to me. He prepares a table before me. And then the rest of it faded out. No, it's not before in the presence of my enemies. It's that. He prepares a table before me in the presence. I said, does that mean anything to you? She said, funny you say that. I read that very scripture this morning. Very scripture this morning. What was that? It's a word of knowledge. What did that do? It built faith in her. She said, God really does care for me. He does know what's going on in our life. And so words of knowledge, we seek to flow in that as God leads us. We don't manufacture it. We just simply do what God tells us to do. In fact, right now, I want you to close your eyes. I want to pray for some people right now. If you're looking for a job, nobody looking around, if you're looking for a job, I got faith to believe that God will answer your prayer. Just lift up your hand. You say, I need a new job. That's great. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, Lord God, that there will be open doors. Doors will open in Jesus' name. I pray, oh God, that opportunities will come. Lord God, we believe for that. We speak into that. Lord God, that there will be provision in the house. Lord God, more than enough in Jesus' name. Anybody else here? I want to pray for people, and you are going through the process of immigration. I just feeling to pray for a number of different people. You're going through the process of immigration, trying to get into the country, and you're being sort of, you know, it's a bit of a long process, and you don't know where it's all going to go. If that's you, lift up your hand. Where are you? Right, a number of you here. Okay, over here. Cool. Lift up both hands toward God. Lift up both hands toward God, and just say, "Here I am, Father, in the name of Jesus." Can you all help me to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus? Lord God, we pray, Lord God, for favor. We pray, Lord, for, Lord God, all the red tape, Lord, to break. Lord God, and there will be openness. Lord, will be favor. Lord, there will be not a whole lot of money expended for no reason. Lord God, if they are suitable, Lord God, let it be plain. Lord God, plain sailing, Lord God. They'll be walked through the door, just like walking out of immigration quickly. Lord God, into the country, just like that, without any hiccups. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got faith to believe for that. I got faith to believe for that. And I believe that you're going to hear, you're going to see breakthrough in those areas. Okay. Another thing that we do in our church is that we don't do it as often as the church I grew up in, but we pray for articles of clothing and or handkerchiefs when a person can't be in the meeting. Now, you say, where do you get that from, Pastor John? That sounds weird. Well, let me just give you the scripture, right? Just to tell you, everything we do is based on scripture, okay? Have a look at this. Read it with me. This is Paul here. So that from, say, Paul's body were brought unto the sick. What is it? Handkerchiefs or aprons. It's cloth, by the way. It's not just a handkerchief you blow your nose on. It's a cloth. Okay, and the disease has departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Isn't that interesting? In the church that I grew up in, this is quite common that they would do that. Now, is there anything magical about the cloth? Oh, no, we don't want to go weird here, okay? There's no, oh, the magic carpet, the magic cloth. No, there's nothing that, it's what happens is as we pray over this, we're actually praying over the person, and the person receives that. It's an apron, it's a handkerchief, they hold on to it. They're not looking to that, oh, magic, let's touch that. That's religion, right? But they're saying, I now receive from you, Lord. Right now, I release my faith to receive from you, Lord. And we've seen people touched of God powerfully. So we do that from time to time. Another place where we release people's faith is in communion. There's a reason why we have communion. It's not just something that we do, but it's a place where you can release your faith. What do you do when it comes to communion? Some of you might say, okay, now we come to a time of communion, you know, just drink and talk. You know. But don't you realize that God is present in a very, very powerful way when we do communion? It says the Lord is present. You see, the connection between communion and divine touch is very powerful. There's an interesting scripture in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. I'm going to read it to you in a moment. But it says in that particular context, Jesus prays for a number of people and they're touched and they're healed. And then we read this. We read this the scripture, Matthew 8, 17, and, which is pointing to the cross. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He, read it with me. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. There is a correlation between healing and what was going to happen on the cross. Clear. So there is not only provision for forgiveness, but there's also forgiveness. There's also provision for healing there. Now, listen to me. I know that there will come a time when we stand before God and we will see him face to face. How beautiful that be. And the Bible says that at that point, he's going to transform these bodies that we have. We're going to receive a new body. Anything that's actually happening at the moment for you, it's a little bit like taking your car for a repair. Okay, you know what I mean? The older it gets, the more repairs it needs. You understand what I'm saying? You know, some of you, when you're young, you never go to the doctor. As you get a little bit older, you know, things start to slow down. Isn't that right, Val? You don't know anything about that. I understand. You know, things start to slow down and you need a little bit more attention. So God can heal you and it's a little bit of a repair job. All right, you get some medicines, a repair job. And I'm looking forward to that. But we also have the provision of God touching our bodies so that when we take communion, we can say, Lord, I believe for your divine touch. Not only that, you say, Lord, I believe that you'll keep me healthy. God, I want to live strong. Look, God, I need to live strong so I can serve you. And that's communion. It's a wonderful place where God can touch us. Everybody say, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. When you lift up the name of Jesus, and that's why I love that song that we sang. It's like, wow, God comes in the house. God comes in the house. What a beautiful name it is. Of course it is, the name of Jesus. And we're going to pray over you in the name of Jesus in a few moments. A couple of other things, and then I'll finish. Another way which we help people is by sound teaching, biblical teaching on healing, on deliverance, on what God wants to do. At the end of the day, it's not just hyping people up. At the end of the day, it's centering God's people, faith around the Word of God. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, what actually happens, it lifts faith inside of you. All of you've got a measure of faith. But unless you release that faith, then nothing happens. So we teach on the Word of God. Before Jesus would minister to the crowds, oftentimes he would teach them. And what would he teach them about? He says, let me show you what my Father is like. Our Father is a Father who gives good gifts to his children. He began to teach him what God is like. God is not distant. He's not angry with you. He's not against you. He is for you. I really believe that we need to hear more about the goodness of God. We really, because there's a lot of people who've got a lot of distorted. God is holy, yes, absolutely. God, you need to ask God for forgiveness, but God is good. God is good. The goodness of God leads to repentance. And so he talked about the goodness of God. Let me tell you a story that I heard this week. There was a young Indian boy who gave his life to the Lord, and he invited his old auntie to come along and hear the Jesus film. Now, we've got lots of depictions of Jesus, but the Jesus film that was made in 1985 is one of those classics that hundreds of millions of people around the world have seen. And they screen it everywhere, in nations, especially in villages. And so they were screening this Jesus film in a village, and this woman who happened to be blind comes along. And the nephew thinks, well, if she can't see it, at least she can hear it, and maybe there'll be a response. Anyway, the film goes on, and it gets to a part where Jesus is talking to blind Bartimaeus. You know that story. And Jesus says to the blind man, he says, what can I do? What can I do to help you? And Bartimaeus says, and by the way, the film is based on just about word for word on the book of Luke. And Jesus says, or rather the man says, I want to see. I just want to see. The woman starts to shout out in the crowd, I too am blind. I want to see. She continues to shout it out. I'm blind. I want to see. I want to see. The crowd is now getting a bit fed up with it. Shut up. Be quiet. Finally, she settles down because they had to stop the movie. And then she stops. The movie continues. And it gets to a place where Jesus is being crucified. And you'll know the final words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Right at that point, the power of God travels through her body. Instantly healed. Instantly healed. What is that? You see, the word of God generated faith inside of her life. And an act of God, a miracle took place, and she was completely set free. I think God deserves praise, don't you think? That's why we preach. We preach the word of God. At the end of the day, that's the only thing that can change. Then the next thing we do is we boldly declare God's word over people's lives. There's a scripture in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. It says, and when the people gave a loud, everybody say loud shout. You can prophetically speak into your situations. Speak over them. We encourage people to speak over your situation, the word of God. In fact, close your eyes right now. I'll speak over you. I'll prophesy over you. You don't want to prophesy, I'll speak over you. This is the word of the Lord. You shall not die. You shall live. And that which the enemy is caused to come against you to destroy you, it shall not harm you. But God will turn that thing around for good. The people who stand against you in conflict, trying to harm you, shall have no power. For God will fight for you. You shall see the Lord strengthen you. You find timidity in your life, you will rise up. With courage, you will stand and fight and see the victory of God fighting for you. God will go before you and you will know His strength in your life. I speak to you, I prophesy boldness over your life. I speak to you, I prophesy deliverance over your life. For God is for you and you shall know the victory of God in your life. I've spoken over you. You need to receive it. Sometimes you've got to lay hands on your own head. Put your hand on your own head. Sometimes you've got to lay hands on your own head and speak over yourself. I speak over myself the blessing of God. I speak over myself the promises of the Lord. One of the things we do is we prepare people to receive from God, and we have a prayer team that have prayed up. I said before we're going to have a time of anointing with oil. And this is what we're going to do. Look at me. This is the scripture up here. We'll put it up, James. If any of you is sick or have any need, let him call for people to pray over them, people who are recognized, anointing them with oil. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. We're going to do three things today. I'm going to call upon God. We're going to call upon God. God of mercy. I'm going to call upon God on your behalf. God of mercy. God of compassion. God of grace. Come. That's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to pray over you with faith. Is there faith in the house today? We're going to pray with faith. And then the third thing we're going to do is we're going to anoint you with oil. And in Scripture, whenever people were anointed with oil, by the way, it meant that they were set apart. You would anoint different articles, but you anoint a person. We set you apart for the special attention of God, His blessing over your life. And something's going to happen because there's faith in the house. Come on, everybody stand. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to receive from God? If you have any need, then we're going to step out in faith and do these three things. Anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. I want you to step out of your chair, step out of it, and come. We're going to call upon the name of God over your life. We're going to call upon God's grace. And then we're going to pray with faith, and then we're going to anoint you with oil. So if you have a need, and I know there's many, you come and let's pray. Let's believe God. Come on, step out of your place. Step out of it. Because there's faith in the house. God is in this place. It's up to you now to release your faith and believe God. You say, I've been prayed for before. Who knows? Maybe today. Sometimes you just got to persist. You got to persist. It's not the first time. It's not the second time. But you just come. You say, God. God. I ask that you have mercy upon me. God, I'm not looking to man, I'm looking to you. God, I pray. We're going to call upon God. Those of you who are here, I want you to lift up your hands toward God right now. Forget about the person next to you. Let me call out to God on your behalf. Is that okay? Lift up your hands. If you're not lifting up your hands, you're looking to people. You're lifting up your hands, say, God, here I am. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. God, on behalf of these people, your people, I cry out to you, God of mercy, God of grace, miracle working God, God of my fathers, I cry out to you and I pray that you will come. And Lord, miracles will take place. I cry out to you, Lord, on their behalf. And I pray, Lord, that faith will be generated. Oh God, we place our faith in you. God, as hands are laid upon them, look, God, as the anointing of oil takes place, let faith be generated. And God, may they come under your special attention. May they come under your care and attention, my Father. Oh God, we do business with you today. You are in the house. Oh God, now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we're going to anoint you with oil. That's all we're going to do. And as we do, just receive from the Lord. There's not going to be prayer. Just receive from the Lord. Say, I believe. I receive. As they lay hands on you, just say that, Lord, I believe. I receive. As we pray and as we worship God. Come on.
Welcome to another Encompass Church podcast. We hope that you are inspired and challenged by God's word. For more information about our church, please check out www.encompass.org.au.